deeply appreciate since I met with her 2 days ago.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the chambers of the Portland City Council. We're glad that you're here. Today is Wednesday, December 5th, 2012. It's 9:30 a.m. session. Good morning, Carla.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
It was chilly out there.
Yes, it was.
Can you please call the roll?
Leonard. Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Adams.
Here. Rules of the chamber are no noise, no talking, no clapping. If you like something, you can put your thumb up. If you don't, you can put your thumb down. You have to speak to the agenda item, the topic of the agenda item in front of you, unless you've signed up for one of the five slots for communications, in which you have 3 minutes to talk about whatever you want. And we, our job is to sit here and listen politely. Under local law, if you are a lobbyist or authorized to speak on behalf of somebody else, in addition to giving us your first and last name only, if you're a lobbyist, as you begin speaking, you also need to declare who you are representing or who you are a lobbyist on behalf of. If you don't make such a declaration, then we're assuming you're here to just speak for yourself. And with that, we will begin with communications. We have four signed up. Can you please read the title for item number 1361?
Request of Mary Eng to address council regarding homeless persons experience post-traumatic stress disorder.
Hi, I brought in a neuroscience journal publishing the abstract regarding recent research in post-traumatic stress disorder, and I'm very thrilled that the Department of Justice is cracking down on our racist police brutality here in Portland, but I wanted to address the issues of how violence and violent impact affects homeless people specifically, but all persons in general. I'd also like to notify you that I've alerted the Department of Justice Office on Violence Against Women of the Portland State University rape crisis. And with our poverty crisis and our homeless crisis at the level that it is, we can find that students are facing a lifetime of post-traumatic stress disorder in response to the safety crises and rape crises. I've previously talked about the unnecessary, undue burden of sexual violence, sexual harassment, and violent assault that homeless women face on the streets. And I think it's very important to look at it from a scientific angle. I applaud the city government taking into consideration the concept of mental illness, but I think we need to get more scientific than that and realize that things as simple as a bottle of B vitamins will help reduce the buildup of toxic homocysteine in the brain that is often associated with what was formerly known as schizophrenia. And if we follow our scientific research online with PubMed, we can find that assessing these toxicities in the brain that result from malnutrition and chronic stress with post-traumatic stress disorder can improve our understanding of how we can reach out to the community, help them repair their nutritional deficits, and help them deal with the long-term chronic stress they face when they face violence on the streets or they had maladaptive childhood experiences. So with that, the cortisol mechanism, to make this really simple and easy to understand, different people impact stress differently. Say, for instance, with military rape, some people will adapt to military rape better than others, but a low basal cortisol rate is associated with PTSD, where the cortisol as a stress hormone will flood when a traumatic trigger comes back. So say, for instance, if you've witnessed police brutality, if you have another instance of police brutality in your city or in the news, that can actually cause a triggering effect. So when we're having these traumatic triggers of rape on Portland State University campus, violent assaults, or the kinds of basic fears that homeless people face when they sleep on the streets and they're actually worried about losing their tennis shoes or getting hit over the head in the middle of the night, I hope you will take this into consideration and put energy towards investigating the scientific impact of post-traumatic stress disorder, what we can do to help our veterans, help our homeless people, and help our survivors of sexual assault and all other traumatic incidences. And I thank you so much for your compassion on these issues.
Carla, can you please read the title for communications item number 1362?
A request of Lightning to address council regarding creative solutions for homeless.
Welcome back.
Creating solutions for the homeless. The reality is, if you want the city of Portland to become a better place to live, we must create solutions that improve the lives of the homeless. When we, the people of the city, see more homeless sleeping on sidewalks or under bridges or various outside locations, we must take action. Portland should not only be known as the phrase, a city that works, but also known as a city that cares for their homeless. When we show we care for our homeless, our city then actually does work. We have some of the best organizations in the city that do everything possible for the homeless, but still need our assistance. Just to name a few of these organizations, Blanche House, Transition Projects, Bud Clark Commons, St. Michael Church, Salvation Army, Portland Rescue Mission, JOIN, Central City Concern, Union Gospel, R2D2, and Dignity Village. The efforts these organizations have made toward improving the city and the lives of the homeless is truly amazing. Their continued success is also dependent upon the support of the community. It is imperative that donations are sent to them on a consistent and regular basis. The city of Portland must continue to improve the overall health of the homeless. It is imperative that they have the proper equipment to be able to stay warm at night. A possibility to be able to accomplish this might be to create some modifications to the current camping ban, which can be discussed at a later date. From mental illness to being in a mental crisis to drug addictions, just to name a few, it's imperative we continue to create ways to improve the overall health of the homeless. I applaud the efforts of the Department of Justice for putting into action creative ideas that will create historic positive change throughout the city. My final statement, Portland, a city that cares for the homeless, is a city that works. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Can you please read the title to communications item number 1363?
Request of Robert Bernstein to address council regarding Hayden Island. He is not able to make it today.
Okay. So can you please read the title for 1364?
Request of Donna Cohen to address council regarding public involvement at city events specifically arranged for public input.
Welcome.
Hello. Changes to transform the Fessenden...
I just need to get you to give us your name
again.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Donna Cohen, St. John's. Changes to transform the Fessenden-St. Louis corridor in St. John's from an ad hoc truck route to a neighborhood street appear to be on track. This corridor has separated thousands of people, primarily kids, seniors, and disabled, from the St. John's downtown core. Over the past year and a half, and with assistance of mediation between neighbors and PBOT staff... Thank you, Amanda, for helping us in that. The committee is to present a close-to-complete plan to the community at an open house on December 12th. The community needs assistance from City Council on two issues. One, enforcement. The West Hayden Island Health Report discusses the negative impact of trucks in a residential area. Add in our large, vulnerable population, and it is clear that through trucks must go. Unfortunately, PBOT staff have only ever supported, quote, mitigation of the through trucks. But we do finally have no through truck signs at each end of the corridor, and we ask that you direct the police bureau to enforce the law. Based on pre-signs data, only half of 1% of freight trucks in the corridor are local. Recent statements by PBOT staff that police will begin to pull over, quote, trucks suspected of being non-local is not satisfactory. We know from a survey of businesses that there are only 2 to 3 local freight deliveries per day. Police can assume a freight truck is very likely non-local. St. John's residents need a firmer commitment about enforcement. 2, an adequate community open house on December 12th. The community needs to be sufficiently informed about the plan and to have a chance to ask questions. Our only other community meeting was November 2011, attended by about 75 people. This time we expect more. The PBOT plan for next week is to have visual aids and for staff to talk with people individually. Although this approach is sufficient for part of the meeting, a plan which took a year and a half to develop and which is being presented to potentially 100, 150 people requires that a portion of the meeting be a group presentation Q&A session. As a former teacher, this is a no-brainer. Not providing a presentation will not allow the best possible outcomes for the meeting. Several of the neighbors on the committee have stressed to PBOT staff more than once the necessity for a presentation. St. John's needs and deserves an open group discussion Q&A of the plan. For PBOT staff to avoid doing so reflects disrespect on a community which has been ill-served by the city in the past in regard to the issue at hand. At the first open house in November 2011, having been in close proximity to the speakers after the presentation myself, I heard personal discomfort expressed about the experience, and it appeared to me that then and there a decision not to have a presentation at subsequent community meetings was made. I ask all of you to remind PBOT staff of their professional obligation to serve the community, which in the case of December 12th means providing a group presentation during which the proposed plan is reviewed, input is solicited, and questions are taken. Thank you very much.
Thanks. I'll make sure they do a Q&A session.
Thank you.
Yep. All right. That gets us to the consent agenda. Does anyone have any items to pull from the consent agenda? All right,
we've Carver, can you request please? For 1390 to be pulled?
1390?
Yes.
All right. Can you please read that title and we'll hear it at the end of our session.
Certify abstract of votes cast, proclaim candidates elected and measures approved at the municipal nonpartisan general election held in the city of Portland on November 6, 2012.
All right. Can you please call the vote on the consent agenda?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. We have three time certains beginning with a resolution. Can you please read the title 1365?
Refer renewal of Portland's children's levy to city voters as a local option levy for 5 years commencing in fiscal year 2014-15.
Commissioner Dan Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. It's my pleasure to bring forward today a resolution to ask the council to refer to the voters in the May 2013 a renewal of the children's levy for an additional 5 years. Simply put, the children's levy is about giving every child in this city an equal shot at success. Since 2002, the children's levy has invested nearly $100 million in proven, cost-effective programs to help Portland children. The levy is improving the lives of 14,000 Portland kids at any given time each year by investing in early childhood programs to ensure that kids arrive at kindergarten ready to learn, investing in child abuse prevention and intervention programs, which help children to overcome the trauma of abuse and to prevent other children from having to experience abuse and neglect. No child will thrive in school if they are experiencing abuse at home. By investing in after-school and mentoring programs, which motivate kids to stay in class, attain better grades, and to keep them safe after school. By investing in programs to help foster children overcome the daunting odds they face and help provide them with a path to success now and in the future. We have kept our commitment to voters to have annual audits, citizen oversight, and to cap administrative expenses at 5%, meaning that 95 cents of every dollar is invested directly in the programs that are serving Portland children. In 2002, Portlanders decided to make children a higher priority by creating the Children's Levy. In 2008, Portlanders resoundingly approved continuing the levy. This May, we will ask voters to approve a 5-year straight renewal of the levy which I am hopeful they will support, recognizing the levy's solid 10-year track record of successfully investing in proven cost-effective programs that have helped the lives of tens of thousands of children and families. In 2008, we responded to the needs of our community by adding a focus on investing in programs that will help children in foster care succeed. We saw the daunting statistics that foster care, children in foster care faced to being successful, and we wanted to do something about that, and we did. This renewal will respond to the needs of our community by adding a focus on hunger, recognizing the devastating effects of the prolonged economic downturn and the impacts it is having on our children. As we know, hunger has devastating effects on children. Studies have shown hungry children have lower school achievement, increased school absenteeism, they have an impaired ability to think, increased behavioral problems, and are more likely to repeat a grade. As we heard in an Oregon Food Bank presentation earlier this year, brought forward by my colleague Randy Leonard, 14,000 Portland children are relying on emergency food boxes each month. We need to do something about this. By adding hunger prevention as a focus of the children's levy, we will invest in cost-effective solutions to address hunger, child hunger, including the potential of serving and possibly even delivering hot meals to children to ensure that we are providing them food when they need it the most. When children are in school, they may receive a breakfast and a lunch, but when they get home, many don't know if they'll have a hot, nutritious meal. We will look at partnering with proven programs, such as Meals on Wheels, to expand our capabilities to provide innovative solutions to child hunger. With that, I would like to first call up County Chair Jeff Kogan, who has another appointment he must get to, and then I will call up our Program Director, Lisa Pellegrino, along with Police Chief Mike Reese. So, Chair Kogan.
Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman. Good morning, Mayor Adams, members of Council. I'm Jeff Kogan, Multnomah County Chair, and I'm very happy to be here this morning to, first of all, thank you for all that you have done as a council to help children in our community and to encourage you to continue those actions by referring today the renewal of the Portland Children's Levy. As many of you know, 10 years ago, I was on Commissioner Saltzman's staff when the original Children's Levy proposal was being developed. And at that point, we really hoped that by taking this action, we'd be able to make a real difference in the lives of children in Portland. And we'd really be able to help in a way that would help children succeed who otherwise might not. At the time that this was first proposed, there were certainly some voices that said, this isn't the city's job. And City Council wisely didn't listen to those voices, because that council, as this council knows, that you can't have a healthy and vital city without healthy and vital children. And so that council acted to refer, and the voters wisely created the Portland Children's Levy, and it has exceeded beyond our initial wildest expectations. As Commissioner Saltzman just said, 14,000 kids today are being served by programs from this levy, and they really, really work. I mean, one of the things that was really unique about the Children's Levy when it was first formulated was that it was going to only invest in programs that could prove they worked. And that sounds kind of simple, like you'd think, gee, gosh, government must only always do that. But in fact, it's not the case that we only ever invest in programs that are proven to work. We've moved in that direction since the Children's Levy, but often the case programs have been funded just because they've been funded in the past. And the rigor that is required to ensure that we're making programs that have evidence that shows they make a difference is one of the reasons that if you look at what's happened since the Children's Levy has been in place for 10 years, there are tens of thousands of kids who are doing better, who have a better chance of succeeding in life because of the investments that have been made possible by this council. For me personally, it was really a life-altering experience to go out and visit kids in Head Start or visit kids at programs like SEI and Friends of the Children and know and see that they were being served in a way that was changing their lives and that it wouldn't have happened but for the Portland Children's Levy. It was extremely empowering for me personally to see the actions that local government can take can really change lives and change the future of our community. But more importantly, it really changed lives and changed the future of our community. And as I'm sitting here today as the chair of the Multnomah County Commission, Multnomah County is the other major provider in this community of services for children. And we partner greatly with and rely heavily on the Portland Children's Levy. And that's true in terms of how we think about service provision. Staffs work closely with staff to coordinate and partner. But it's also many ways in which Multnomah County has worked to learn from the Children's Levy. Some of the things that Commissioner Saltzman just mentioned, for example, requiring investments in programs that are proven to work, has helped us realize that we needed to step up our game and work harder to demand outcomes and work harder to make sure that the investments we were making were actually giving us the results we wanted. And similarly, the really path-breaking limitation on administrative expenses, the fact that 95% of these dollars are out in the field, has caused us to do a lot of internal searching and changing and improvement to increase our administrative efficiency, because at the end of the day, what really matters is getting these dollars out to serve kids in our community. And so I want to just acknowledge that the impact of the Children's Levy is very great just in terms of the children who are being served by the Children's Levy, but the impact is also great in terms of the role model role that the Children's Levy plays in our community, influencing other governments, other services, other programs to try to be better, to try to be more efficient, and to try to be more effective. I think this is really a wonderful program. I thank you for all that you've done in the past, and I encourage you to give the people of Portland a chance to step up again and help kids. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair Kogan.
Thank you, Chair.
Now I'd like to bring up our levy director, Lisa Pellegrino, and Police Chief Mike Reese. Lisa will give us a short PowerPoint, and then we'll hear from Chief Reese. You got to push the button at the base of the microphone there, too.
Thank you. Pardon me, I have a little bit of a cold. I'll try not to cough. Good morning, City Council, and I'm going to just briefly give you an outline of the Children's Levy. I know many of you are familiar with some of these facts, but we'll take a quick tour through. So as Commissioner Saltzman mentioned, the city voters passed the Children's Levy in 2002, and it was overwhelmingly renewed in 2008 by more than 70% of the voters. Over the course of the two levies, we've invested $100 million in children's programs in the city of Portland. Some of the accountability measures, which have been highlighted by Chair Kogan and also by Commissioner Saltzman, are as follows. We are annually audited. We spend only 5% of our revenues on administering the fund, so that 95% or 95 cents, rather, of every dollar goes to proven and cost-effective programs. We have also tried to create leverage funds, which seek to get private dollars to match public dollars for children's programming, and have leveraged over $6 million over the course of the two levies. As the director of the staff, we monitor all of the programs, site visit all the programs. Is this going in and out? It feels odd.
No, okay. It's on.
Okay. And we use a competitive process to select all grantees who receive funds from the levy. As also stated in the ballot measure, we have a public oversight body, the Allocation Committee, who makes all funding decisions. The folks that sit on that committee are a representative of City Council, which is Commissioner Saltzman, a representative of the Multnomah County Commission, which is Deborah Cafori, a city-approved citizen representative, which is Julie Young, who I believe is in the audience today, a county-appointed citizen representative as well, who is Adrienne Livingston, also the head of the Black United Fund, and the Portland Business Alliance also appoints a representative, which currently is Ron Belts. As stated by Commissioner Saltzman, the ballot measure sets forth that we invest in four different program areas: early childhood, after school and mentoring, child abuse prevention and intervention, and foster care. I'll briefly give you some highlights on some of the outcomes that we achieve for children and families through the programs that we fund. The families that participate in our programs report increased literacy and parenting skills. This is both in early childhood and child abuse prevention programs that do this type of service. The levy has decreased the cost of quality child care for low-income parents through a child care initiative that ran over 5 years' time. Students in the school districts that are in the city of Portland have shown outcomes of improving school attendance, improving their attitude towards school, and exhibiting positive social behaviors and higher self-confidence. And all of those are the precursor outcomes to improved academic performance. Parents annually receive 5,000 hours of respite care to help prevent abuse and neglect, which is, as Dan said, we're focusing on trying to prevent abuse and neglect happening in the first place, since such poor outcomes happen afterwards. Families in foster care programs show improved parenting skills and reduction in reported abuse. So this map just shows the spread of programming throughout Portland. So you can see it reach pretty much to all sectors of Portland. What's not shown on the map is that this doesn't include all of the childcare and preschools and family-centered sites that we serve, as well as we provide a lot of home-based services in early childhood, and clearly we can't represent on the map. So it's an even denser bubble map than what you see there. And last, this is just an example of the various programs that we fund. You can see on the screen. So it's a wide range of community-based programming that we provide in the community. So thank you. That concludes my brief outline of the Children's Levy. I'll hand it over to Mike.
Do you freeze?
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. I appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning, and I'm asking for your continued support for the Children's Levy. Too often, as police officers, we see the tragic outcomes for kids and families when there aren't healthy options for children. And the gang involvement, the kids living in poverty, the addiction, it is heartwarming to see what happens when you provide these kids with healthy opportunities. And the Children's Levy supports over 65 programs in our community that have a positive impact on kids and families. For our police officers, there are three programs in particular that really intersect with what we do. Boys and Girls Clubs of Portland, we have officers in the clubs. The Boys and Girls Club is next door to one of our police facilities. We have officers that volunteer there. They have after-school programs that meet the needs of kids in those communities funded by the Children's Levy. There are child abuse screenings at CARES Northwest, and these are kids that are referred by Portland police officers to that. And then at the Gateway Center, you'll see child care for the children who come in. The parent may be meeting with a domestic violence advocate, and there's healthy options for the kids while that's going on. Again, I really support the Children's Levy and the continued good work that they do, and appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you.
Thanks, Chief. Our next panel will be Susan Stoltenberg, the Executive Director of Impact Northwest, along with a client served by one of the Children's Levy SBAC programs, Jackie. And then Gerald Delaney, is Gerald of Self-Enhancement, Inc., Program Director. I don't see Gerald. Oh, there he is. Come on up, Gerald. And Deborah Hodges, a foster parent. So go ahead and just have those seats, and we'll start with you, Susan.
Okay, thank you. Susan Stoltenberg, Executive Director of Impact Northwest, a proud and privileged investee of the Children's Levy since its first years in all areas. I want to describe what you've done for us, and then I have a story that illustrates to me what the Children's Levy is to the children of Portland. In our early childhood and under your early childhood and school readiness objectives, you've been funding our parent-child development services that combines home visits, parent-child playgroups, and connections to essential community services, including enrollment in the Oregon Health Plan, access to SNAP funds, et cetera. We serve 80 to 100 children, over 1,000 children in the last 10 years. 77% of those children are children of color or speak Spanish as their first language. And 65% were at or below federal poverty levels. Under the after-school programs, SUN, everyone knows SUN, and we provide SUN services through the Children's Levy at Whitman Elementary and Franklin, now Franklin High School. But without your support, we used to be at Marshall High School with these funds, and you graciously allowed us to help transition those students over to Franklin. We served, last year we served 584 students between those two programs who attended regularly. Over 2,600 family members who attended events and or classes sporadically, and 133 students in summer school. What the outcomes were: improved attendance by the students, improved engagement by the parents, and improved behavioral or reduced behavioral demonstrations by the kids, negative behavior. So we also provide AKA science at over 85 classes, 85 schools last year. We served over 1,000 students, and those students show an increased interest and knowledge in science concepts. That is a 9-week class. We also provide mentoring, and we have since the very beginning. We have, annually, we serve about 90 children. About 80% of our mentors have continued for more than 1 year. Our oldest mentoring group actually precedes the children's levy, but our oldest mentoring match has been going for 15 years. What do we see among children who've experienced mentoring? Again, increased involvement in school, increased attendance, and increased academic performance. Urban Opportunities is a program that you fund that works with high school students to increase their job skills, their career readiness, and again, increases, as a result of our intervention, increases their attendance and their academic performance and their demonstrable skills in resume writing and job behavior. Our child abuse and under your Child Abuse Prevention and Intervention Initiative, we have Listen to Kids, which provides the parent-child involvement program through the Gateway Center, and that is to nurture the parent-child relationship following the trauma of domestic violence back to health. And you've heard from Commissioner Saltzman the long-term effects of the strength of that parent-child bond in terms of supporting a child in school readiness, school success, and life success. And under foster care, we serve we have an initiative called Safe and Together that we do in partnership with Department of Human Services. It is also informed by another program you fund called TREM through Portland State, which is reflects the knowledge of trauma and uses trauma-informed services to help families whose children are in foster care to reunite safely and permanently. Right now, we have a 90% of our parents report improved parenting skills and improved parent-child bond, and 100% of all reunified families have not experienced subsequent abuse. That is enormous success and long-lasting investment. Hunger, I really support the investment in the Hunger Initiative. Many of our Sun Sites, some of you may know that we have 10 Sun Sites in the metro region. Hunger is a huge issue in all of our programs. Most of our Sun Sites provide two, sometimes three meals, I'll call it two meals and a snack a day. But even at that, we are not reaching, we may be reaching 20% of the families in a school that has 85% poverty. One of the recent initiatives is food pantries in most of our Sun Sites. We are eager to see how we can support families in nutrition, particularly in the evenings and on the weekends and long holidays. Finally, the story is this morning I was delivering my 7-year-old grandson to first grade. And all the way through kindergarten, he would tuck his hand deeply into mine and hold on tightly as I walked him all the way to the door. And this morning, he was asking what, you know, he's seven, so he's more mature. And he was saying, so what are you doing today? And I said, and I told him where I was headed in something 7-year-old could understand. And as I walked him to the door, he said, he released me his hand from mine and turned to me and said, Oma, I have it from here. You go take care of those kids who need that money. And it really touched me because I thought that certainly Impact Northwest's mission is to help families prosper through a community of support. You are an invaluable cornerstone to that effort. Together, we are helping families, adults, children. We hold tightly to their hand until it is time for them to turn to us and say, I've got it from here. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Mm-hmm. Jackie, would you like to say a few words?
Hi, this is my family. I'm representing them.
Can you hold it up a little higher? There we go. Okay.
The camera.
Great.
There's my family. This was taken last Christmas at their Christmas dinner. I just wanted to read from my journal. It's about TREM and, of course, Impact Northwest. Dreams lightly distorted, puzzling them together, trying to make sense of it all. My mind is like a motor on the fritz lately. Have to write it down to get it all out. Class is surprisingly very intense. I go in, look at the topic of the day, and think to myself, oh, it's not so bad. Come out very emotional and more vulnerable than before. Is that what it's supposed to do? Am I supposed to feel so raw? I come out feeling more than when I arrived. More intense, more emotional, more like I am a tiny kid again. So open, so innocent, and yet all the tools that I am learning is like a hand guiding me through my unknown forest, through my tunnels. I can at least feel the textures of it all. I can place my hands on the tunnel walls. I can see the wonders of what can be. I can see myself. I can see what my struggles are. I can see what makes me truly me. I am not alone. I can actually smile, laugh, enjoy the moments that was blessed to me. Through it all, I am grateful I have this class. I am thankful I am thankful I was led to this class. It might take a lifetime to know all that I need to know, but the possibility of being able to know that I can is what I look forward to. If it was not for this class, I truly believe that I would not be where I am now. I believe I was spiraling to giving up and throwing in the towel. I was ready to give in to the temptations of my struggles. There is not a day that goes by that tempts me, but with the tools I have, I am strong with the tools I learned. I can say I am indestructible. I can be knocked down, but I will always stand back up. I may have a moment that breaks me down, but I have my super glue. I have my strength that will make me stand against the wind. I will smile. I will feel the power of life. And I am here. This is me standing strong. And with Trem, it gave me so much tools, positive tools. And with Portland Impact, they saved my family. Because I see me. This is me. And thank you for supporting everything you guys do.
Thank you, Jackie. Great job.
That was really beautiful. Thank you.
Gerald.
Good morning. Mayor Adams, commissioners, and especially Commissioner Saltzman for taking this personal and supporting this the way that it is done has been really big for the city, so I'd just like to commend you for doing that. Through the funds that we get from the Portland Children's Levy, we've been able to expand services we have. We do an after-school program for middle school kids, giving us the opportunity to bring in 116 more kids that are in most in need of this service. We're able to supplement those services with what we do at SCI so that kids go through and get the after-school programming, which is homework assistance, academic enrichment, recreation and wellness, social and life skills, and also health. And we're able to supplement that so many of those kids can actually go through the summer program that is not subsidized by anybody, that we can actually work with them to keep them in the summer because our motto is full year round. And we also serve kids on a continuum, so that's really important when we start talking about programs like foster care. We're able to serve 48 foster care kids and give them case management while we're in our program. And as we know about foster care, many kids move from home to home to home. And when that happens, sometimes a program like ours is the only stability that kids have. They know they can show up. They got a case manager that's there for them, you know, 24/7 case management. You can call them on the phone and they'll come for you. So you have, you know, that kind of service that kind of wraps around the kids that we have. We also do parent involvement/child abuse prevention, where we screen a number of families that come through to home visits. We've actually seen 500 families. Now, we'll take those families that are at risk of and case manage those families that are at risk of child abuse. So we look at a comprehensive program, bringing a whole lot of folks in. Sitting next to me is a good friend and a great foster parent, Deborah Hodges. And, you know, foster care is really near and dear to me because I was a foster parent at one time. So I know the struggles of foster care. And this is one of those true troopers that you have out there in the community. She takes the hardest cases. I'm not going to tell her story, but she takes the hardest ones. They have to say, I got a girl. It's really tough. Ms. Hodges, come get her. And she doesn't say no.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Deborah Hodges, and I am a foster parent with the state of Oregon. I've been a foster parent for over 10 years. And in my past experience with SEI and foster kids, they've used the computer lab. And as Mr. Deloney has said, SEI is the one constant that I've had in some of the girls. I do girls from 13 to 21 that is in their life. They keep those coordinators, and no matter where they move outside of the area, SEI has been the constant. So most of my girls have been middle school, and as I shared earlier, they have advantage of coming to the center and using the computer lab. And it's been a real healthy environment for those girls to be. And I know that they're getting positive role models, and they're around kids their own age that they're growing with. But I want to tell you about my most recent experience with SEI and one of my children. I had a 16-year-old that came to me from a variety of placements, and she was one of those students that had been in SEI for a long period of time. And the thing with her is she wanted to go to college. She wasn't wanting to stop at high school. And the school she chose was Warner Pacific. She went for an Act 6 scholarship. And I don't know how many of you know about this scholarship process, but it's real arduous. And it's very complicated. There's a lot of letters to write. There's a lot of people from the community that you have to pull in the scholarship. There's a lot of timelines. And with SEI and myself and this young person, we were able to meet all the deadlines. The SEI coordinator, I love him so much. His name was Troy Hollis. He kept her on task because there were times when she would get defeated because there's hundreds of students that apply for the scholarship and they only take 10. So it was really hard for her. So he kept her motivated along with myself. Another thing that really gave me a lot of pleasure was another high school coordinator, Ms. Hickok. She always answered the phone. I mean, because I was a little nervous, too, trying to get her through and keep her motivated. So I needed help in doing what I needed to do, and she always answered the phone. So those two coordinators really helped this young girl get. There's three levels. She has just passed the second of three. So we're still in there and praying and working hard that she makes it to the third level. But I couldn't have done it without SEI. I am a proud foster parent. And my job is to help these girls get to self-sufficiency. And I do it well and proudly through the help of SEI. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Hodges.
Yeah,
thank
I'll just finish service. By saying those are the last time we testified, we brought two kids in that were foster kids that were going to college. We transition them straight into our post-high school program. They still have a coordinator. They do everything from send them care packages to check on how they're doing in school. Because kids stay in our program to age 25 because our final outcome, and I'll say no more after that, is we try to create positive contributing citizens. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Our third and final panel is Tom Kelly.
president of Neil Kelly Design Build and board member of Meals on Wheels, John Steubenball, advocacy director of the Oregon Food Bank, and Swati Adhikar, executive director of the Children's Institute. Welcome. Start with you, Tom.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor and commissioners. My name is Tom Kelly. I'm the immediate past board president of the Meals on Wheels people and still currently a board member. Meals on Wheels people would like to express support for expanding the initiatives of the Children's Levy to include child nutrition. Although our main target is to feeding seniors, we have concern for any nutritionally at-risk population in our community. The mission of Meals on Wheels people is to enrich the lives of seniors to assist them in maintaining independence by making nutritious food, social contacts, and other resources easily accessible. Maintaining adequate nutrition is a key to success in any population at any age. In our program, we are finding a significant number of grandparents parenting grandchildren. We are experiencing a child nutrition need in our own services. We applaud Commissioner Dan Salzman for taking steps to expand possible services to deal with this critical community issue. I have to say, when Commissioner Salzman first called me about this, after I got off the phone, it was one of those kind of moments that's like an aha. I just went, wow, is this ever a neat idea? That wasn't in my prepared remarks. Meals on Wheels people is willing and interested in a possible partnership to address the growing nutritional risk of our children. Meals on Wheels people has expertise and experience in feeding the community. Our new central kitchen was built with community support and has the capacity to produce many more meals. The leaders of Meals on Wheels at the time that our center out in Multnomah was built were very visionary, and we have a tremendous amount of unused capacity. And I think that's a strong point that I want to make, that we have the capacity to help in this project. We currently produce 1.2 million meals each year, and with the help of 10,000 volunteers, serve 17,000 individuals annually. We support the nutrition focus of the Children's Levy and look forward to helping and or playing a role in a successful solution. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. John?
Good morning, Commissioner Salzman, commissioners. My name is John Steubenball. I'm the Director of Advocacy for Oregon Food Bank. Thank you very much for bringing forward this resolution today. And obviously, Oregon Food Bank is very supportive of including childhood hunger in the renewal of this levy. We know that in Portland, children are disproportionately impacted by hunger. Earlier this year, the Oregon Food Bank Network conducted a statewide research project involving about 4,500 families across the state, including 500 within the city of Portland. And based on what we heard in that research project, we know that, for example, about 34% of those eating from an emergency food box in Portland are children, compared to children, Portland's overall child population of less than 20%. And Commissioner Salzman, as you said earlier in your remarks, that equates to about 14,000 children per month in Portland that eat from an emergency food box provided through the Food Bank Network. And it's too much. It's just too much. We also know, based on what folks have told us in our discussions with them, that families are forced to make really difficult choices in addressing hunger. And one of the things that folks told us in our survey project was that about 36% of those families with children have to make choices including having their children eat less per meal or skip a meal entirely simply because there's not enough food in the household. And we also know that families face hunger not in isolation, that they face other challenges, including employment, including a range of cost struggles within the household. Probably not terribly surprising that folks who face hunger are low-income households. Based on what people told us, about 40% of households facing hunger and receiving emergency food live at or below 50% of the federal poverty line, which translates into $11,000 per year for a family of four. $11,000 per year for a family of four. And so when we consider the other cost drivers that we all face, fuel, housing, medical services, hunger is, or food is often one of those things that becomes an expense that people can do without because there's not a bill collector for food. Because we know that families face these multiple challenges, we really want to complement the Portland Children's Levy for being a multifaceted approach. This is precisely the kind of approach that's needed to get at long-term solutions to hunger. When we address the multiple challenges, including hunger, that families often face, we can begin to get a handle on a long-term solution to hunger. And we also firmly believe that it's this type of public-private sector partnership that's really embodied in the levy that, again, will forge long-term solutions. Oregon Food Bank is deeply, deeply grateful for the leadership and support that's been shown by this great city, and we look forward to working with many folks in this room in the weeks and months ahead to further address childhood hunger in our city. Thank you.
Swati?
Good morning.
Press the button at the base there.
On? Yeah. Good morning. Thank you so much for allowing me to speak to you today. I'm Swati Adarkar, president of the Children's Institute, and I just want to take this time to applaud the incredible leadership and foresight you've had to create a children's levy in the first place. There isn't a better payoff in long-run investments for the city of Portland in ensuring our kids are going to be successful as students and as capable adults. As the president of the Children's Institute, I have a chance to focus on what the most effective strategies are to ensure children are school-ready and on grade level by third grade, which, as we know, is the best predictor of whether or not children are going to graduate from high school. And at a time in Oregon and in Portland where we have an incredibly high school dropout rate, you can be assured that the Children's Levy is truly a beacon of hope and a bright spot for creating results and investing in the high-quality early learning programs that we know are going to get children prepared for school. I've had the chance to visit several of the programs that you're investing in over the years, and I can assure you that you are getting strong results and making a difference in the community. Moreover, we know that to reach the scale and magnitude of the problem we have, it's important that we look at a combination of federal, state, local funding streams, as well as philanthropic dollars. And through your leadership, you're ensuring this happens. I get a chance to travel all over the country and look at similar efforts, and I can tell you Portland's at the forefront because very few cities have a levy like this. And in addition to the incredible track record we have in making these important investments, you have put in place a rigorous and an accountability system that allows us to have a high level of confidence on the rate of return on these investments we're making for the city. And so we know, as it's referred to the voters, if you take this step, you've got a solid record behind you and an opportunity for Portlanders to continue on this journey to make sure every child is on a level playing field in this city and can make a difference in their lives and all of ours in the community. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Swati. Thank you all. That concludes our invited testimony. Carla, do we have any public testimony?
Oh, we do. We have five people signed up.
Okay. Why don't you call
The first four, four, please come up, are Terry Sorensen, Ken Thrasher, Mike Radway, and Alma Mora.
Welcome.
Morning.
Alma and Sante, come on up. Why don't we start with Alma? And if you could just give us your name and...
I came to help with interpretation.
So. Can you close that laptop so we can see Sante's face? Great.
Okay, quiero saber su nombre.
You just give us your name.
Good morning, my name is Alma.
Good morning, my name is Alma Mora. I'll just give a quick introduction in English. Alma Mora is a volunteer and a former participant in an early childhood program supported by Children's Levy called Juntos Aprendemos, Together We Learn, with the organization Latino Network. And she's here with a spontaneous invitation from Commissioner Saltzman to bring her child Santi up and to share a few words as a community perspective.
Contar tu historia. Bueno, yo el programa Juntos Aprendemos, tengo 3 años de experiencia sobre ese programa.
I have 3 years experience in the program Juntos Aprendemos.
Uno de mis niños más grandes fue 2 años a ese programa y él salió muy avanzado y él no hizo gestar solamente ese programa y de ahí fue al kinder muy avanzado.
One of my sons started the program and attended for 2 years, and although he wasn't a participant in Head Start, he entered kindergarten very advanced.
Ahorita mi niño Santiago, él empezó a ir en octubre. Él ya todo el tiempo está contando, sabe, le gusta cantar, aprendió ya a agarrar un lápiz.
My son, Santiago, while he's just 2.5, started the program in October, and he's already developing school readiness skills like using a pencil, learning songs.
Es un muy buen programa para los niños pequeños, aparte de la experiencia de las maestras también, que los ayudan mucho.
It's a great program for the children, and I'm very appreciative of the teachers who help so much. All right, and then she feels like she's done, and I would just like to say by way of introduction that Alma has returned to volunteer with the program and exemplifies the strong community base of Juntos Aprendemos. So thank you all so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Alma and Sante. Great. Michael?
Good morning. My name is Mike Radway. I live in Portland, and I work for Knowledge Universe and KinderCare Learning Centers. Knowledge Universe is the nation's largest private provider of early childhood education. We're actually also the largest private provider of early childhood education in the world. We're headquartered here in Portland, where we have about 600 employees in the Lloyd District. I want to thank Mayor Adams and Commissioner Fritz. You attended the groundbreaking of our most recently opened early childhood center and built in partnership with OHSU down in the South Waterfront. That center is now bustling with children and hopefully making that neighborhood a little bit more family-friendly. And also Commissioner Fish, who assisted us a couple of years ago as we did backpack distribution in cooperation with Schoolhouse Supplies as part of the back-to-school efforts here in Portland. I should make it clear that although Knowledge Universe is heavily involved in early childhood education around the country with 1,600 centers, we do not actually receive any funding from the Portland's Children's Levy. As a private for-profit, we're not eligible funding, but we nonetheless strongly support it. Some might wonder, well, why are you supporting it when potentially taxpayer funds are being used to support other providers? And the answer is really quite simple. The Portland's Children's Levy is good for children, and it's good for the city of Portland. When you look at all of the research that's been done, both scientific research on early childhood and the development of children's brains, it's clear that the earlier that you invest in children, the much higher the rate of return is in terms of making them productive adults and helping them learn. Also, there have been numerous studies by economists, including Nobel laureates at the University of Chicago. James Heckman has a famous diagram that's referred to as the Heckman curve that shows basically that the earlier you invest in children, the greater the return. And that's exactly what all the programs funded by the Children's Levy here in Portland do. So this is a tremendous advantage for all of the residents of our city that you can support here today, and I hope that you will. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael. Terry?
Hi, I'm Terry Sorensen, and I'm president of Friends of the Children. One in five children